You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Live Free Now show, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. We are live streaming this broadcast on the Conscious Resistance Network, on the Live Free Now Facebook page, as well as some other channels. And we will also be sharing this at livefreenow.show in podcast form for those of you that prefer to listen via audio. We are live streaming, so we'll be taking some of your questions and comments as we go. I want to thank you for tuning in to this amazing broadcast where we're going to share the radical idea that we can exist, and I would argue we would exist more peacefully in a more just society with more human flourishing without the institution of government. And I want to speak to skeptics, people that love government or at least have just been inculcated with propaganda and indoctrination their entire lives to believe that government is a necessary evil. And I also want to talk to those radicals and those idealists, activists, anarchists, voluntarists that know that government is evil and unnecessary, but are struggling to kind of figure out how to get from here, statist society with coercive hierarchical control, to there, a genuinely free society where individuals and groups are able to live their lives according to their own ends without coercion and hierarchy controlling them. That is the topic for today's program. Before we go any further, I want to invite you to check out our sponsors, freeounceofkratom.com, freeounceofkratom.com. The Brave Botanicals, amazing company that I operate myself. They're also our sponsor. Kratom is a member of the coffee family. It comes in the powderized form. It's made from the leaves of the Kratom evergreen tree. The green varieties help people with stress, anxiety, taking the edge off, focus. There's also white varieties, which are good for energy, focus, motivation, also anxiety. It's good as a social lubricant, too, if you're not a big drinker. There's red varieties that help people with chronic pain. And if you go to freeounceofkratom.com, if you're listening to us on the Conscious Resistance, which many of you are, you can go to bros.freeounceofkratom.com. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping and handling. That's $5 shipping and handling. And we will send you an ounce of Green Mangda for free. Once you do that, when you add this ounce to cart, you'll be presented with a one-time opportunity to get our four other strains at 50% off. That's right, folks, for $28.75 plus $5 shipping and handling, you can get $60 worth of product here and try our different kratom types. There's also white Borneo. It's not included on that special, but this is one of my personal favorites. Again, that's freeounceofkratom.com. I can't even include that link on my personal Facebook page or some of my own sites because Facebook is involved with big tech and big pharma. And it's such a controversial plant here, even though this plant's been used safely for hundreds of years, that they don't want you to try it. It's part of the reason why we give it away for free. So go to freeounceofkratom.com or bros.freeounceofkratom and give that a try. All right, let's get right down to it. Wait, real quick. I want you to subscribe to the podcast at livefreenow.show. Follow all the channels. Follow all the alternative channels for the Conscious Resistance Network because censorship is run amok in the big tech world. Okay, so one of the things that drove me to do this video is all of the hubbub and discussion and debate going on around yet another presidential election. And if you've been involved in politics or been following along for quite some time now, you know that every 4 years, everybody gets all freaked out and all worked up and is super excited if their guy's in office. They're super excited if they hate the guy that's in office and there's another guy. And here we are with yet another election where it's clown number one and clown number two. Now, there are a lot of people that make a lot of arguments saying that Trump is the savior and he is here to root out the pedophile, Satan-worshipping elites, kind of hinting at the Q stuff right there. And he is God's gift to liberty. I don't hold those ideals, although I do recognize some of the things that he is doing to undermine the deep state, or as we used to call it, the shadow government and their agenda. So I do think that at least in some regards, it's a breath of fresh air to see this disruption taking place. Having said that, however, being a libertarian and an anarchist at that, I see through a lot of the policies and see more authoritarianism that we have come to recognize and get used to from the presidential office. So having said that, I think it's clown one versus clown two. Now, clown one, the incumbent, President Donald Trump, there are a whole lot of people that are seriously ticked off about this guy, right? I mean, this is the same thing that happens every single year. I was pissed off about George W. Bush, wanted him to get out of office. Even voted for John Kerry in 2004 because I thought he was this big anti-war candidate. Wasn't the case at all, nor were the Democrats. Everyone was pissed off at Obama on the right and the militias and all these conservatives, wanted him out of office. It's just a left-right paradigm bogus BS thing, but it seems like there's an exceptionally large number of people that are pissed off about Trump, so much so that they are supporting a candidate, Joe Biden, that is totally lackluster, status quo, establishment, as far from progressive as you can get. However, all of these liberals, progressives, left-leaning Democrats are still throwing their support behind him. And I haven't yet come across someone that is enthusiastically pro-Biden. Most of them are reluctantly supporting Biden because we can't possibly have Trump in office for another 4 years, is what they say. And there was a conversation I was having. I really ought to limit the time that I do this, get engaged with folks that don't subscribe to my viewpoint at all, which is rather radical when compared to the mainstream. But, you know, I learned something sometimes. I hope people learn something. Probably don't, but whatever. But either way, it inspired this video. And so they posted something about Biden. And I said, man, Joe Biden really is a creepy old man that doesn't represent the little guy in the least bit. I'm so surprised that people support him. And most of the messages were like, we need to get behind Biden because we can't possibly have another 4 years of Trump. And it's like, you have to support Biden because the alternative is more Trump. We have to support him. I can't believe you wouldn't support Biden or vote for Biden, because if you don't, then we're going to have more Trump. And what I responded with was, it boggles my mind that people are still supporting the institution of government after all this time, right? We're being presented with a false dichotomy that there's only two choices, Joe Biden, Donald Trump. It's even a false, I guess, a trichotomy or quadcotomy to believe that there's other choices like the third party candidates, JoJo Jorgensen. I don't even know who the Green Party put up this year. I don't even know if they have ballot access. Apparently, JoJo Jorgensen and the Libertarian Party have ballot access in all 50 states. But that is still part of the dichotomy, which is, in order to achieve our common goals, in order to find more happiness, peace, flourishing, better prosperity, we need someone in Washington, D.C. to do it for us. That is what that whole world universe, that whole world represents. And I'm here to tell you that there's another option over here. It's not just Biden or Trump or Joe Jorgensen and her 2 or 3%. She's lucky. There's a third option. And that option is building an entirely new alternative institution that is based on radically different concepts and foundations that has nothing to do with the statist model of top-down hierarchical command and control. Rather, it's completely different. It has to do with peace and freedom and mutual respect. And it's built on a foundation of mutually beneficial voluntary associations. So I want to challenge you, both the person that appreciates government or believes government is a necessary evil and never really thought outside of the statist box that perhaps there's another way to organize society. I want to challenge those people. And I want to challenge you, the free thinkers, the voluntarists, anarchists, against the system type people, conspiracy researchers. I want to challenge each and every one of you to think not only to think, but more importantly, to build, to do, to act, to organize, to understand that we do not have to go on as the human race living under such despotism and control for the rest of our lives. I most certainly want to leave a better institution, a better organization that works together to collectively meet the wants and needs of human beings than government. I want to leave something better to my children. And we're doing just that. Now, there's all sorts of different ways that this comes about. There's mutual aid groups. There is fraternal organizations. There's volunteer groups that help one another. There is what we are creating, what Derek Brose and I have been dedicating the past 5 years to, the Freedom Cell Network. We have 4,000 people that are participating, some of them more actively than others. Some of them are just signed up on a website and sharing ideas and talking and debating, right? But really what it's all about is building an alternative social organization that enables human beings, which in fact are social animals, it enables human beings to meet their common wants and needs, right? So it's my belief that human beings as social animals, and a whole lot of them, especially if we were to have large economies, global economies, large production where we can make really cool widgets like this mouse or this shirt or this camcorder that I'm talking to you through, if we were to have all those things, and if we were to import goods and widgets from here and natural elements from over there, there's going to be have to be some sort of social organization. And what I want to argue today is that this social organization does not have to be government. There's a lot of problems with the institution of government. And it's my belief that most of the biggest hardships, atrocities, genocides, democides that we have seen throughout the history of mankind have been at the hands of government. Yes, yes, there are evil men. There are evil men that, as Thucydides said, what, all men are disposed to do wrong, something like that. I don't think it's all men. There are evil men that have evil agendas and evil goals, right? Adolf Hitler being one of them. But these men are empowered when they take the seat of power in a government and are able to control an entire population, sucking off their resources and their wealth and creating their war machines and doing, using the public, socially engineering, manipulating, brainwashing, and programming the public to do their bidding. Right? These evil men, if they were private evil men, even if they had their little company and their little private army, they wouldn't be as powerful. They wouldn't be able to project as much evil and dominance onto other human beings were it not for the institution of government, which has a monopoly on violence and coercion and enables a small group of people to extract resources and control an entire population of people. That's what government's all about. The state, right? Government. The root of the word government is govern, to rule over. Now, I'm going to tell you today, I don't want to be ruled over by anybody. I want to self-govern. I think that responsible, evolved, capable, rational human beings are perfectly capable of self-governance. They're perfectly capable of creating organizations and institutions, contracts and compacts, whereby they can engage in business and commerce and relationships and associations with other human beings, right? So that's government. Then you have this institution of the state, right? Not just a state like Texas, but the state, which is an institution that has a geographic monopoly on the initiation of violence. It's an institution that sets the rules over a vast geographic area. And I'm here to tell you, we don't need that institution. In fact, I think that institution is dated. It's the freaking 21st century, man. I'm talking to you right now through this telescreen. I'm transmitting live to hundreds of people that are watching. Well, approximately 79 are watching, but thousands of people are going to view this video in the next 24 to 48 hours and beyond. We have the technology to connect all across the globe. We don't need government anymore. It's the future. Government is an old, dated idea that's caused so much harm. Another reason why government and the state causes harm is because it gives bad actors a veil of legitimacy. And we see this perfectly. The perfect example is police abuse that takes place. Police abuse against all types of people. But the police have a tendency, especially, to abuse those marginalized communities and those that have a harder time standing up for themselves or defending themselves in court. Well, because we have the state that gives these individuals that oftentimes are bad actors, right? Just because someone goes to their cadet training class and someone puts on a uniform and they've taken their hours and they've done the documentation, they've paid their dues. Now they put on the uniform. That doesn't all of a sudden make them a good person. Just because someone gets elected to office by 50% plus one of the people, that doesn't make them a good person also. There's people that have been traumatized and harmed a lot in life, and they want to project out on everyone else and hurt other people. And oftentimes it's these people that seek out roles in government. And the problem is when they put that badge on, when they're given that immunity, sovereign immunity, which shields them from accountability. Also, the institution of a corporation also shields individual flesh human beings from accountability. Being a politician and controlling the mechanisms of accountability shields you from accountability. Being a U.S. president and appointing a Supreme Court justice shields you oftentimes from accountability because y'all are part of the good old boy network. He's not going to come back and get you down the road. And so when a bad actor with this veil of state government legitimacy comes around and hurts somebody, God, they're beating them with a baton. They're taking their money and saying, shut the F up. You don't want to mess with me. We'll mess you up. We'll mess your family up. It makes it harder to push back and defend against them, right? It's always easier to defend against a private criminal because oftentimes when the private criminal comes to take your property, to harm your family, and you fight back, I hope that you're armed and you know how to use your firearms safely and proficiently. You know some basic self-defense. And you fight back against the private individual. You know, all things considered, oftentimes you're lauded as a hero. You get a pat on the back. Maybe there's a trial. If the guy ends up dead, who knows, right? But if that cop or that IRS agent comes to take your property or hurt you or your family, and you fight back, more often than not, you either end up a felon or you end up dead. And it's because we don't have equal footing with the state enforcers. They have been granted more rights. They have been granted sovereign immunity. And that allows for harm to take place without accountability. And that's one of the reasons why the state harms human beings and why we ought to reject the state and try something new. Another reason why the state is a terrible institution for organizing society is because the state operates with monopolies, right? So the state gets its funding through taxation. F you pay me. Ever seen the mafia movies where they go and they get protection? It's a very similar phenomenon. The mafia, Cosa Nostra, used to earn money by going to small businesses in their little area, their little region of domination, and saying, hey, we know there's been a lot of break-ins taking place. We know that it's not very safe around here. So if you want to make sure you can do business and not have to worry about, I don't know, a brick getting thrown through your window, your chef in the back of the restaurant getting roughed up after work. If you don't worry about any of that stuff, I'll talk to you about what you can do in order to stay safe in this community, right? That's what the mafia does. The state, it's the same damn thing. You want to use these freaking roads, huh? You don't want to have a police officer coming down here to shut your business down because somebody didn't wear a mask. You're going to pay me. You're going to pay your licensing fees. God damn it, you better pay your taxes. Essentially, it's the same thing, just called different things, right? Except the big difference is, at least, you know that the mafia is a criminal organization. And a lot of people don't know that the state is a criminal organization because it has that veil of legitimacy. but that's how it works. Quick story, got pulled over on the way to Kansas City, was driving in a car that we purposely left sovereign when the plates expired and the registration expires, my ex-wife's car. We're like, we're not going to renew the plates. We're not going to renew. And it was registered in Missouri originally. Missouri makes you pay an annual registration fee, a registration tax. They make you pay a property tax on the car, actually. I don't know if that's still the case, but this registration was expired and there was property tax owed on the car. Ex-wife moved to Texas. I'm driving the car with a no license plate on a trailer back up to Kansas City to go to an event to pick up some furniture from her parents' house. Get pulled over in Muskogee County, Oklahoma. Muskogee County. They come to the door and the guy comes in with the slack jaw and he says, we're going to go ahead and bring the drug sniffing dog out. So you guys just wait. And I'm like, drug sniffing dog? You don't need probable cause or something like here? And he turns and he goes, nope. Here in Muskogee County, we can do that. Yeah. Long story short, we were left stranded on the side of the road. They impounded the freaking car and literally left us with all of our stuff, all these shirts and swag that we were going to sell at this Nullify Now event in Kansas City. We're left on the side of the road. But before they left, I managed to tell the police officers a joke. It's a Lysander Spooner joke. It wasn't a joke when Lysander Spooner wrote it, but this is what it was inspired by. I said, you know what the difference between a police officer like yourself and a highway robber is? I said, at least when the highway robber pulls you over and takes all your stuff at gunpoint, he doesn't tell you he's doing it for your own good. And it was like, phew, it went right over their head. That just shows the difference. Again, there's not much of a difference between a private criminal that takes your things, hurts you, and forces you to do things against your will, and a public criminal, government actor, law enforcement officer, bureaucrat, or politician. The big difference is at least you know that this one's illegitimate. Everyone thinks this is legit and just complies because they don't want to suffer the consequences, because they know more often than not can't hold this group, this class of people, this parasitic class of people accountable. All right. So the reason I started talking about this taxation and this coercive effort is because the government operates through monopolies. And one of the reasons why human flourishing has been hindered greatly is because these monopoly institutions don't allow for innovation or competition. Right? So vision the local police department, for example. Great topic. Everyone's talking about defunding the police. Police are coming under fire, literally and figuratively. There is a demand for many people. Some people take it upon themselves, so there's less of a demand. They carry a firearm. They know how to fight, whatever. But a lot of people, there's a demand. There's a need for security. The way that government works, there's a monopoly institution that chooses the enforcement mechanism. And in the United States of America, this enforcement mechanism, more often than not, in just about every single municipality, is a municipal police department, which interestingly enough has its historical roots in keeping newly freed slaves under control. That's why a lot of people are like police departments are inherently racist. It's an institutional thing. And they're like, no, that's not possible. That's not alive in this country anymore. It's like, well, let's go back to the roots of this institution. That's what it was founded for. But I digress. So you have a monopoly. You have one protection racket. And let's say that this protection racket, rather than protecting the people from crime and helping them and keeping them safe and creating peace, right? Like a peace officer instead of a law enforcement officer. Boy, those two distinctions sure have a lot of underlying information to share with us. A peace officer keeps the peace. Oh, we desire peace in our community. We desire to be able to walk down the street and not be in fear of our safety or our rights being violated by somebody. And the peace officer comes in and, you know, like imagine. I don't remember, it was Andy Griffith or something. Peace officer, keep the peace. A friend. Hey, Officer Tom, good to see you. How's your kid doing in that soccer game? Peace officer, law enforcement officer, not there to keep the peace, not there to help you get your freaking dog out of the tree, there to enforce the law. Enforce the law. And does the law help the little guy? No, the law protects the position of power of the ruling class is really what most laws are all about. So we have this distinction. Okay, so the law enforcement, the Supreme Court has even ruled that police officers do not have an obligation to protect you from crime, because that's not what it's all about. It's not about protecting the little guy. It's not about creating peace. It's about controlling the population, protecting the business interests, creating an environment for government to function and control people so the tax slaves can continue to enrich those in power and they can continue to give money to their buddies using the revolving door phenomenon that we see far too often in government. But because we have this, I digress, because we have this monopoly institution, if the police department wasn't doing what people thought it ought to do, which is protect them from crime, rather it was roughing people up, pulling them over for going 5 miles over the speed limit, giving them a ticket and summoning them to court for not wearing a mask over their face in a jurisdiction that has mask mandates, pulling their car over, calling the drug sniffing dog out and deliberately getting the dog to scratch the door. That happened to me one time going through a border patrol checkpoint because we refused to show our driver's license. We didn't want to answer any questions. We don't answer questions. We're not showing any driver's license. Are we free to go? That whole thing. And they got the freaking drug dog out to the car and they got it to alert. They got it to like scratch. It jumped up on the car and scratched the freaking paint. In a free society, we have competition and we have choice. With freedom comes great responsibility and comes a whole lot of choices. You can choose what protection agency you want to do business with. If you don't want to do business with a private defense force, perhaps you and your neighbors want to organize a neighborhood watch group. Or maybe there's a few dozen people in your neighborhood that know how to use firearms and are volunteering to lead the community protection watch. Or maybe the thing for your apartment complex is, we're going to give everyone that moves in a shotgun and let criminals know that if you come to these houses, you'll probably get shot. Whatever the form may take. The point is, in a free society, you have choice. And when one institution starts to slack and isn't fulfilling the wants and needs and delivering good service to its constituents or consumers or customers or clients, you switch to another agency. And what this phenomenon creates is why competition is a great thing, is because they need to pick up their slack and improve their ability to deliver a service. But with the state, that's not the case. You have a monopoly. And a police department is just one institution that a government enjoys monopoly on. Sticking with the municipality, let's talk about the city water department. Or the city energy department. In the city of Austin, the city water department had these problems where they were like double, quadruple billing people for water. They do all these stage four restrictions. You can get fined for watering your lawn on a day that doesn't end in Y. Every day is a joke. But that does happen. Or like your zip code, your street address ends in a negative or positive number. You can do this or that or the other. That city energy, rolling blackouts taking place. It doesn't matter because there's only one choice, right? And maybe some people argue that monopolies scale. So like whenever you have a large enough scale of a institution or a need, then a monopoly is the most efficient way to do it. I doubt that, but maybe it's the case. But and it depends on what it is, you know, like getting energy to an entire city, for example. But nowadays, with innovation and technology, maybe it's more efficient for everyone to have their own little power cell, their own little Tesla power cell and solar panels or whatever. But the point is, whenever the state's involved, you don't get to choose. You're just stuck with that one institution. And that institution can continuously extract wealth and funding and revenue. And so what happens, opposite a market phenomenon, a genuinely free market where there's competition and choice, the institutions that are vying for your loyalty have a mechanism of correction. If somebody gives them positive feedback or negative feedback, they can utilize that in order to correct their course. If people all of a sudden start pulling out of the defense agency, that's a mechanism of correction whereby they recognize something is wrong in the delivering of their service, perhaps their customer service, perhaps they're not stepping it up or they're not fighting back the gangs fast and efficient enough. There's a signal there. In markets, there's signals. and the statist institution and the absence of choice and the absence of competition, there are no signals and there is no mechanism of correction. You just get what you get and you don't throw a fit. Well, I'm throwing a fit, I tell you. I'm like a freaking two-year-old throwing a tantrum. But we're not just throwing a tantrum and screaming and shouting about it and like just whining about it on social media to all our friends. And we're like all mopey because
life is so bad. Government's so evil. I'm just going to complain about it and be all negative.
It seems to be like a large majority of what activists spend a lot of their time on. No, we're not doing that. No, 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 no. What we are doing is the premise of this show. We are trying, and I want you to join me in this mission. We are trying to wake as many people up to the idea that we do not need to rely on government as a means of organizing society. Rather, we can, will, and are building entirely alternative means of organizing society that allow for freedom of choice, freedom of association. They allow for correction. They allow for innovation. They allow for freedom and human flourishing. It's that time, ladies and gentlemen. It's 2020. The world seems to be going to shit. There's this plandemic, scamdemic. Governments are cracking down in authoritarian ways, hardcore. Especially in Australia, people are getting arrested. Pregnant mothers are getting arrested for simply sharing and helping to organize protests. Right? We have rioting taking place. People have correctly identified that law enforcement is corrupt. There's no mechanism of correction with law enforcement because those that lay out the punishment or that investigate the crime, it's the same institution investigating itself. And there's a freaking thin blue line. The thin blue line is like a brotherhood where you get one another's back, right? And you don't rat out your fellow police officer. You shut your mouth if you want to work your way up the ranks. That's not good. People have rightly identified that. But instead, you have all these communist organizations and these infiltrators that want to riot and engage in property destruction and freak out. And so in major cities, especially Democrat-run cities all across the country, there's riots taking place. We're in an economic recession. If things keep up, we could be in an economic depression. If this country and this economy avoids a depression, it's going to be because of more economic funny money fraud that's only kicking the can, kicking the inevitable can of collapse down the road. This is all what's taking place. People are in prison for victimless crimes. Families are torn apart. Children are in cages. It's bad news bears. It's like the potential for humankind to do big and beautiful things is being greatly hindered by the presence of the institution of government. Now, I'm not just simply going to focus on all the terrible stuff going on. There's a lot of beautiful stuff going on in the world, but things could be a lot more peaceful and a lot more free and a lot more innovative. There could be access to radical health innovations, right? That's another example to get back to the monopoly, right? We have the Food and Drug Administration, which has a monopoly on what you can take, right? But here's the beauty and here's what's hopeful. They don't really have a freaking monopoly. I'm demonstrating it right here by selling you an ounce of Kratom, freeounceofkratom.com. This is something that's an unapproved medicine. The federal government says you can't take this in order to have some sort of therapeutic benefit. You can't because we haven't approved it. Therefore, it's wrong and it's bad. Can't do it, right? That's what the FDA says. They say, oh, that cancer treatment that you were experimenting and had 100% success with no side effects. Nah, can't do that. Just can't do it. Oh, there's people taking MMS, chlorine dioxide, and they found that they've been able to rid themselves of harmful pathogens and toxins and viruses and bacteria. No, If you tell people that and you sell that, we're going to put you in a cage, which happened with the Genesis 2 church. Google MMS if you want to learn about it. Well, don't Google. Use DuckDuckGo, but you're going to get a whole lot of propaganda and misinformation, just like you would if you Google Kratom. Oh, I got John Bush. I like what he has to say about politics and freedom. Maybe I'll check into that Kratom stuff. Go to Google, Kratom. Oh, my God, everyone's going to die from Kratom, and it's so unsafe and harmful, and there's Kratom-related deaths. There's 47 Kratom-related deaths, just like COVID deaths, where a guy in Florida died of a motorcycle accident, happened to be COVID positive, and it's a COVID death. Or there's someone that got shot and happened to have Kratom in their system, and it's a Kratom-related death. Yes, that's what the FDA does. These institutions exercise monopolies. They arrest people for offering alternative therapies and alternative remedies. They take away your ability to use credit cards. They make it difficult for you to do business. They literally lock people in cages and take their property. That institution is over. We're done with it. I'm telling you, we have evolved beyond that. We have the technology that's capable of connecting us, making decisions as a group, raising money, bringing funds together, protecting it securely through a blockchain. We don't need government. All right, so I'm going to go to some of your questions. It sounds like the comments have just been popping off. So I want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening if you're listening after the fact on the podcast. And thank you so much to the live stream audience. So let's talk about what this could look like. The idea is we don't wait for someone to build an alternative for us. We go ahead and start building the alternative now. The alternative that I choose to encourage, to be a part of, to further develop, is what's called the Freedom Cell Network. Let's check it out real quick. The Freedom Cell Network is essentially a group of, hold on, somebody's saying blockchains are 666 as well. I mean, a blockchain is not 666. Blockchain is a piece of technology. Just like a gun can be used to rob a bank or to coerce someone or to protect someone, a blockchain can be used for all sorts of different purposes. Now, it is possible that government wants to use blockchain in order to create a global digital currency that can be shut off with access to people. But because the cat is out of the box and cryptocurrency is a thing, and there's a multitude of different functioning decentralized peer-to-peer blockchains that exist across the globe, Monero being one of them. Monero, also known as XMR, is a privacy coin, can't be tracked or traced, can't be hacked. In fact, the IRS recently was offering $750,000 to someone if they could crack through Monero's encryption methodology. So while it is possible that blockchain can be used by government and you have to use this cryptocurrency if you want to buy goods or services, so on and so forth, it's also possible that there are, it's not even possible, this is already happening, that there are cryptocurrencies that are unhackable, untraceable, untrackable there, and you can do private money exchange using those currencies. And that is a very beautiful thing, my friend. Here's the deal too. The technocracy is being built all around us, and it has been for several years, and it's been accelerated most recently. Smart grid, smart city, IBM, 5G, you name it. The groundwork is already being laid psychologically. People are being primed and conditioned to accept this phenomenon whereby if you don't have your COVID antibodies or your COVID vaccine, can't fly, can't go to the restaurant here, can't shop there, can't enter this federal building. I don't know why anyone would want to enter a federal building. They already did that with the Real ID Act, right? This national ID card, they tried to push it through federally, it failed. So then they had to circumvent, well, actually did pass federally. Then they started trying to pop it off in all the state governments. And then a lot of 10th Amendment folks were pushing Real ID nullification bills. Mac's wife, she got one passed in Missouri. Then the federal government said, well, if you don't have a Real ID compliant driver's license, then you cannot fly or enter a federal building. So people are like, oh, shit. Trying to take away some privileges, right? Even though I think flying isn't necessarily a privilege. I guess if you have to use someone else's plane, it would be a privilege to engage in business with that business. But traveling about isn't a privilege. It's a right. And so here's what the Freedom Cell Network is all about. Yes. Yes, it's all people say crypto is shit. That's okay if you don't like crypto. You don't have to use cryptocurrency. Me and my friends can use cryptocurrency. Me and my friends can make money off of cryptocurrency. And me and my friends can understand the inherent value of having a decentralized, untrackable, untraceable, unhackable means of exchanging value and exchanging information globally. Me and my friends can understand that you can have a social media website that can put up information, that can post videos, that can digitally encode an entire journalist report or an entire leak of documents that can't be taken off the internet. So honestly, if you don't want to do the research to find the promise and the hope that is afforded by cryptocurrency, because you want to assume that it's the NSA or that it's some global government, New World Order scam, then that's on you. And you don't have to choose to participate. And that's okay. We're not going to force it upon you. Okay, so look, let's assume that there is a technocracy. There is a technocracy. You don't need to assume it. Let's assume that we know what their plans are. We can already see what's coming. If you've been researching this, if you've been following this, we see what's coming. Do we just take it and be like, oh man, things are really going to suck? Or do we say, oh, I'm just going to go run off to my cabin in the woods and be just chill next to Walden Pond and write poetry and books? Or do we say, you know what? This is the perfect opportunity for us to carry forward our plans to create an alternative institution, an alternative means of social organization, so that if they try to shut us out of their society, it doesn't really matter because we haven't been participating with it so much anyway, because it's all based on fraud, inflated currency, coercion, and deception. And frankly, we're kind of fed up with being a part of it because it didn't really serve us. No, it just served those in power and served to divide everyone else. And we don't want to do that. We shouldn't be so divided as human beings. The reason why everyone's so divided and like angry now and like and fighting with one another and forming off in these camps and stuff is because government is a one size top down, one size fits all. This guy gets in power, forces his views. His group gets in power. Their party gets in power, forces their beliefs, their values, their policies on everyone else, whether it's in a city, a state, or the federal government, or soon to come, a global government. Essentially, what's already happening with the World Health Organization and their ideas about how you combat COVID, if you don't agree with that, or if you say something to the contrary, then your video is going to be taken off of social media. You're going to be in trouble. If you're a member nation or a nation state and you don't agree with that, then you're going to be shut out of this, shut out of that. It's total bogus. People shouldn't be so divided. We had a decentralized, voluntary institution where people could choose what framework, what legal framework they want to use for their business or for their exchange or for their relationships. You get to choose these non-territorial governance structures. You can choose, I think I'm going to try this out for my business. When it comes to my marriage or my relationship, I think we're going to use this contract system and this arbitration system. We're going to agree to go to this arbitration system. Okay. I do see some value in having some sort of identification if I'm going to do banking or if I want to travel. So I'm going to choose to use this identification mechanism, not ID 2020, not biometric, not thumbprint, none of that. I'm going to choose this mechanism. You can pick and choose. There's competition amongst all. That's not where the state and where the powers that be, right? The Rockefellers, the Gates, the secret society groups, the roundtable groups that have been planning this for centuries and for generations, they wanted to go to top-down, total hierarchical centralization, one plan, one size fits all. But guess what? They're not all powerful. And there's a lot of beautiful, free human beings that are mucking up their plan, okay? So we know that this is where they're trying to take things, but we're going to throw a wrench in their gears. And I want to invite you right now. I'm going to show you what our little alternative social organization looks like. And again, this isn't just an idea. It's not just like, man, government sucks. I wish there was something else we could do. I'm just going to complain and be upset about it. No, there is something that we can do, and there's something that we are doing. So let me introduce you to it. If you're listening on the Conscious Resistance, you've probably already seen about this. This is the Freedom Cell Network. You can find it at freedomcells.org. We have over 4,000 people participating. Let me show you the member map. The member map is really hopeful and is one of the reasons why I'm really optimistic about the prospects of liberty. You see, there are just over 4,000 people that are registered on our website to participate in the Freedom Cell Network. These people are either active, where they're organized in the Freedom Cell organizational framework, or they're just participating and wanting to get involved and find people. This is the United States of America. Every single one of these dots represents a person that's participating in the Freedom Cell Network. Just look at all that overlap. It used to be so sparse. It used to be so sparse. It was just an idea. This was an idea in 2014, 2015. And now it's spread. Look at Western Europe. Look at all these people. These are all people that are tired of complaining, that recognize that government really sucks as a means of organizing society, and it's done so much harm, and that are ready to try something new. Man, the Middle East needs to pick it up. That's why we should be grateful, even though shit is really terrible here in the U.S. relative to other places. You know, we talk about ideas like this. Sure, they may take our YouTube video down, but they're not going to come chop our hands off. Not yet, at least. There's a whole lot of people here in Southeast Asia. Here's Indonesia, where we get our kratom from. Some people in Hapon, aka Japan. But chances are most of you are watching here in the United States. So I just want to zoom in. And this is what things look like. I'm going to show you what Texas looks like because it's what I'm most familiar with. I'm in Austin, Texas myself. I encourage you to go to the website, freedomcells.org, sign up. You don't have to put your exact address. In fact, I would encourage you not to put your exact address. Maybe put the park or the coffee shop down the road. And people will reach out and say, hey, I live in Houston also. What are you into? What are your skills? Do you want to chat? Do you want to join my cell that we have where we teach each other how to grow food and we share seeds with one another? This is the Austin, Texas area. This is the Houston area. This is the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which has the most people involved in the state of Texas. All right, let me show you how it works. Let me tell you how it works. This is our idea for an alternative social organization, right? Going back to the topic of this video, why more people should reject the false notion that we need government. We don't need government to organize society. I do believe that we need some sort of institution, some sort of framework, some sort of commonality, some sort of association, a social organization, right? Government is a social organization. It's based on coercion, control, hierarchy, one group of people taking power and forcing their views upon another group of people, whether the other group likes it or not. That's what government and the state is all about. Our alternative, the Freedom Cell Network, is about mutually beneficial voluntary associations. It's decentralized. You know, the big thing about the decentralized nature of the Freedom Cell Network is that it makes it difficult to be corruptible. I'm not going to falsely tell you that, oh, there's no way that this Freedom Cell Network thing we're going to be building, that we're building, is can be taken over by bad actors and be harmed and used for some nefarious agenda. No, anything's possible. But the decentralized nature of the organization has built-in mechanisms of correction. So when bad actors get involved, inevitably bad actors will get involved. There probably already are some people. They haven't revealed themselves. There's a way to isolate ourselves from that. There's a way to, there's probably a good word to describe this, where you have the body of the organization here, and then there's a bad actor here. I love doing these videos because you can just do visuals. I'm sure you've seen my hands just flaring all around, right? That's how I talk. I talk with my hands and my body. So here's the body of the organization. Up springs a bad actor or a bad group. And they're like, hey, we should go break stuff. We should go do all this nasty stuff. Or, hey, we don't like these people because the color of their skin or whatever. Well, all the organization has to do is, and now they're out here all alone, disassociated with. They're not a part of the group anymore. And we don't recognize them as a part of the group. All right, so let me tell you what the Freedom Cell Network is all about. And there's other groups too. Like there's a group called GRASS. It's like the GRASS, the Grand Rapids Autonomous, whatever. I'm going to be interviewing this guy, Tony Guerin, on Tuesday next week on this podcast, on this channel, LiveFreeNow.show, Conscious Resistance Network. And he took some of the ideas of the Freedom Cell Network, but he just took it and ran with it. And his group over there in Grand Rapids, they just created their own thing. They have a mutual aid society where they do skill shares and support one another. They're all into arts. It's like a collective. It's a very beautiful thing. Point is, it doesn't have to be the Freedom Cell Network. Perhaps there's a better way to do things. Perhaps the Freedom Cell Network, the grass, your idea, this cool thing they're doing over in Finland or whatever, perhaps we all link up. We share ideas and we host summits where we have, we talk about best practices. Because we don't know what the hell we're doing. I've never founded a new society before, created an alternative social organization. This is all ideas based on experiences and based on knowledge of what we can see, what we can observe has not been working. And I tell you, the more centralized an institution gets, the more corruptible and harmful it seems to get. All right, so here's how the Freedom Cell Network works. Ready? It starts off with an inner cadre of around 8 people. This is your trusted, most confidant group where most of the activity takes place, most of the mutual aid and mutual defense and support takes place. These 8 people. Bloop. 8. All right. We choose the number 8 because 8 is the optimal number of people to have maximum creativity. This is actually based on scientific research from a gentleman named John David Garcia, who was a scientist, philosopher. He did studies and research, real world research and studies, and found that when you have 5 people or 4 people, there's not enough ideas to go around. There's not enough people to implement these ideas. When you have 15 people, it becomes hierarchical. There's more division. There's more bureaucracy. He found 8 number is that optimal, right? So you start with 8 people in your inner cadre. Doesn't have to be exactly 8. Now, as I'm describing this to you, I want you to just imagine how this type of network could essentially replace every useful function of government, right? Because, you know, security and defense is a useful thing. Providing water to people in a certain area is a useful thing, right? Having a common rule book that businesses and merchants utilize in order to have some sort of certainty in their entrepreneurial ventures is a useful thing. But if you've been tuned in for the past 50 minutes, hopefully you understand why the state and control and coercion isn't the best way to accomplish those things. So as I describe this infrastructure to you, I want you to imagine how this could apply to society and how we could utilize this social infrastructure to achieve our common wants and needs, to provide mutual aid for one another, to achieve common goals, and to provide mutual defense from one another to protect us from external aggressors, be they private or public. All right, so it all starts with this inner cadre. Chances are you know 8 people maybe that could join up with you, and they're already popping. Oh, yeah, Tony would really dig in on this. That'd be great. Melissa, I think she would get this too. I think she'd be down. Okay, so you get your 8 people, and you start setting some goals. We need to have an encrypted communication channel like Telegram or Signal that we communicate with regularly. We should meet at least once a week, or if that doesn't work for us, we're too busy for that, at least twice a month. If that's too much, at least once a month, right? And we should work on common goals to improve our lives. Some of the common goals that we recommend starting with and that many people in the Freedom Cell Network have started with is working together to get at least 3 months worth of food storage. I used to say 2 weeks worth of food storage. Then I saw shit literally hit the fan with this COVID stuff and grocery stores run out of all sorts of items. Then I was like, wow, maybe 3 months is better. Now, I don't have 3 months worth of food storage, but I'm slowly but surely, emphasis on the slowly, working my way there. Okay. Another goal for your group of 8 is everyone should have firearms and know how to use them safely and proficiently in defense of themselves, their family, and their community at large. If you're not into firearms, that's okay. You don't have to do that. But I think it's a good idea because the world's all crazy and messed up, and it's better to have a gun and not need it than to need a gun and not have it. Another great goal is everyone should have a bug out location. If you notice, these goals are kind of centered around survival, and it's kind of like a baseline important thing that we ought to all be focusing on because the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we could see some total societal collapses anytime soon. Again, that societal collapses are already taking place in Portland, for example, in Minneapolis, where shit has totally been hitting the fan in regards to these riots and stuff. Fires are happening all over California, Washington, and Oregon. Another hurricane's about to hit the Gulf, right? So this is all stuff that we ought to do. And I tell you what, it's going to be much easier to accomplish those goals when you're working with an inner cadre group. For example, acquiring 3 months worth of food storage is made more effective and more efficient and more accomplishable when you could pool your money together and buy food storage in bulk at a discount. Or if 3 out of the 8 people have 2 acres or so, the 8 people can take turns. All right, this week we're going to Tony's farm. We're going to spend 4 hours there. Tony and his lovely wife are going to cook some food for us and some lunch. We're going to work our butts off planting that garden, having our seed bank going on. And afterwards, we're going to have dinner and drink some beers around the fire and build that camaraderie and that common bond, right? These are all things that are amplified and made more effective when you have a group of people. So that's where it starts. But it doesn't stop there. Once you have your inner cadre group humming along, benefiting your life, you then encourage the creation of other inner cadre groups. It doesn't have to be exactly 8. It can be 5. It can be 9. It can be whatever the hell. This isn't like a top-down coercive thing. It's just an idea and it's open source and you can do whatever the hell you want with it. But the idea is you encourage the creation of 7 other inner cadre groups. Now you have 8 groups of 8. Or 64 people. This is what we call the middle cadre. Imagine the inner cadre ideally is hyper-local. It's like in Southeast Austin, there's these people. They all live close together within 20 to 30 minutes of one another, so they can help one another. If something happens, the house catches on fire, they can show up and grab the kiddos. If the police show up, they can show up with cameras or whatever and protect their people. Now, the middle cadre with approximately 54 people could perhaps spread out over a city or over a little area or region, right? So now you have 64 people. Maybe this 64 people meets once a month and the 8 people meet once a week. Well, the 64 people can have common goals as well. 64 people could maybe everybody puts together a little bit of money or a chunk of them put together some money and they buy a piece of land. 64 people, perhaps this is where the mutual aid comes in. Perhaps there's an economic crisis. And then rather than the group members relying on the government, they do a GoFundMe or a chip-in because Tony over here fell on hard times. His business got shut down by the government because he refused to force people to wear masks and because he refused to shut down. He said, "I'm essential, damn it. I'm not shutting down." Government shut him down. He's out of work. He's got rent up. He's got $500 of the rent. He still needs to pull together another 1,000. So rather than just being homeless or going to a homeless shelter or trying to get a bailout from the government, he goes to his group of 64 and says, "Hey guys, you know, I've always been there for you. I'm going to reciprocate this in the future, but I sure could use that $1,000. 64 people, 1,000 divided by 64, not a whole lot of money. They help him out. Now let's take it a step further. Or mutual defense. "Hey guys, there have been some thieves in my neighborhood that have really been breaking into cars in the front. I know that there's 2 people in our middle cadre group that are experienced with home security and home defense. I'd love to call out to the group and see if you guys could come visit my home and give me some advice on how I can better protect my family and my home." Or we all have this network alert system like Cell 411, for example, and it's come to the point where people are finally ready to opt out of the state. I would encourage opting out when you have more people, as we're about to demonstrate. But let's say that this guy's like, "I'm done. I'm not registering my car, I'm not paying my property tax. I'm no longer participating in the institution of government because I find it to be unethical. And frankly, I have no use for it anymore." And everyone knows that, right? There's like 5 people in the group of 64 and they decided to up and opt out. The other guys were like, "Hey, I thought we were going to do this once we had 10,000 people. So we got more strength in numbers." And they're like, "No, we're doing it now." So the idea is the police come knocking on the door. "We're here to serve a warrant. You haven't been paying your taxes." Tony and his family, they call the cell 411 alert line or they have their phone tree set up and it's like, "Ding, ding, ding. Hey, we got to execute the emergency plan. The police are here right now." Okay, great. Tom calls Nancy. Nancy calls Susan. Susan calls Gary, Ralph, and Michael McGarnagle. And before you know it, maybe the whole 64 can't show up. Some of them have obligations. Some of them are out of town, whatever. There's 12 people out of the 64 that show up to Tony's house. They have firearms openly displayed. They have cameras. They walk up and they position themselves in between the police and Tony's home. And they say, you know what? We're not going to let you take our friend to jail today. We're not going to let you take his home, and we're not going to let you take his family away. We're here to protect our friend. We're peaceful people. We've harmed no one. We've done nothing wrong. You're left with a couple choices on how this could go down. We hope you choose peace. Hope you go about your business. All right. So that's the middle cadre. Now let's take it a step further. And I want to tell you that we already have essentially a middle cadre group going in the state of Texas. We have an inner cadre group here in Austin. There's multiple inner cadre groups in Houston. There's a middle cadre. There's actually a middle cadre in Dallas-Fort Worth area with multiple inner cadre groups. But we essentially have a middle cadre spread across Texas. And pretty soon that middle cadre spread across Texas is going to become what we call a meta cadre, which is whenever you have eight middle cadres. Just a quick reminder, inner cadre is eight people, core, dedicated. That's where most of the action takes place and most of the support takes place. You then encourage the creation of eight groups of eight. You have a middle cadre of 64, ideally across a city or a smaller region. You then link up with the other middle cadres that have been developing in the state or the Southwest or the Pacific Northwest, for example. There's folks in the Pacific Northwest. There's a Northeast group that's starting to function. And so before you know it, we can have eight groups of 64 people, which is approximately 544 people. Now let's go back to that scenario. And let's say that we've grown to the point, it's been about 2 years, and we now have 544 people in our fictional city. Tony's one of those 544. Now let's see how things would be different. Let's say the same scenario, Tony opted out. The police show up to his door. They pull out their call alert that immediately sends a text message, code red, to every single person in the network of 544. Let's say only 10% of the people are able to show up immediately. Another 15% show up an hour or two later. Two police officers come to the door. Tony's wife sends out the alert. 5, 10, 15 minutes later, 10%, 54 people come and say, hey, 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 whoa, whoa, whoa. We're peaceful people. We mean no harm. We're not going to let you take our friend away today, officer. Okay? Boom. Now imagine you have multiple meta cadres, right? This is where I begin to call it the Confederation of Freedom Cells, where you have multiple inner cadre groups, where you have eight groups of 544. Eight groups of 544, which is over 4,000 people. And you span across the state of Texas or across the Southwest. Another great function that once we reach an adequate number, adequate size, if you have government health insurance or if you have private health insurance that's completely controlled and regulated by the government, chances are it really sucks and it's really expensive and there's a lot of bureaucratic red tape and it doesn't really meet your needs because Obama had to come in and make things worse when they already were terrible because government fucks everything up all the time. I have a health share. It's called Zion Health Share. It costs me about $207 a month. Were I to get into some emergency, I pay out of pocket up to $1,000 and everything else is covered. I have aspirations once our Freedom Cell Network gets organized enough to create a health share, whether it's like crypto-based, whether it's an agorist institution, or whether you create a legal entity. I don't know what that's going to look like, whatever the group decides, but we will have our own health share. Then we can, when there's an emergency that happens within the group, if it meets the criteria of the contract that we all signed or a cryptocurrency smart contract with the funds that are held and they only get unlocked when the group representatives do this or that, boom, we can have our own health share system where we don't have to rely on health insurance. This isn't stuff that's like some far off essay that was written by freaking David Friedman or something. This is real world practical stuff that we ought to be doing right now because government sucks. It's sucking more and more. A global technocracy is being created that wants to create a dystopian future scenario for each and every one of you. Every time I drive in downtown Austin, there's like homeless camps and tent cities. The police department is boarded up with giant highway barricades in the front of it. And I'm like, man, we're living in a freaking futuristic dystopia right now. It's not coming. We're not anticipating it. We're in it, man. And there's never been a better time than now to start creating and innovate and create the alternative that we've all been yearning for. This, we're better than government, man. We're better than this. This is terrible. So imagine if you're 544 people or you have over 4,000 people, whatever. We already have 4,000 people. If we can get all those 4,000 people organized, we can essentially already have a metacadre. I don't know what percentage of the 4,000 people are actually building this infrastructure, but I do know that I get messages almost every week recently from Atlanta, from Minnesota, from the Pacific Northwest, people reaching out from India, and they're saying, hey, can you help us? We need some advice. We're holding this meeting. We just started our intercadre group, so on and so forth. This stuff's really happening, right? I have an idea of how decision-making can be done in a consensus way, right? So when you have a bunch of human beings that want to do things together and amplify their effectiveness, pool resources, pool money together, there needs to be some mechanism of making decisions and preferably making decisions utilizing consensus. So I need to write this all out. There's a Freedom Cells manual that has ideas and suggestions on how we carry this out. There's a way that we can make decisions, even if there's 10,000, 100,000, 250,000 people, and doesn't require electing a representative that lives thousands of miles away and makes decisions. You never met this person. They make decisions, and whether you like the decisions or not, you're forced to comply with them. It's not like that. It's totally consensus, 100% voluntary. If you don't want to participate, you can say, well, you know, I still want to be a part of the Freedom Cell Network. But my Freedom Cell and my middle cadre, actually, we decided that we don't have a consensus on that. It's not a good idea. So we're still going to continue to have our mutual defense compact, and we're still going to continue to engage in our monthly skill share, and we're still going to be part of the health share. But we're not going to go in on that venture. It's a little bit out of our values. So you guys do that. We're going to do this, so on and so forth. This is just one way that things can be done. There's a whole slew of ways that things can be done. There's a whole wide variety of ways that this is already being done. The point is, government is a terrible, terrible, terrible way to organize society. It has caused immense harm and has greatly inhibited human progress and flourishing. And I'm here to tell you today that with the technology, with the awareness, with the shift and rise in consciousness that many of us are experiencing, the time is now to create the free society that we all deserve. This is John Bush. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Live Free Now show, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. You can find our podcast at livefreenow.show. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, all those great podcast channels. And I want to invite you to check out our sponsor, freeounceofkratom.com. If you're listening on the Conscious Resistance, go to bros.freeounceofkratom.com. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping and handling. You can take advantage of the one-time opportunity to get the four other strains for 50% off. That's freeounceofkratom.com or bros.freeounceofkratom.com. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. John Bush signing out. I want to remind you, we're building this. There's 4,000 people participating. If you haven't signed up yet, if you haven't joined the Telegram chat or joined the group for your area or started the group for your area, time is now. The links are below. No reason not to participate. We are innovating. We're creating a new world. This is the future. Goodbye. Thanks.